and sing along. Yeah. Rapping so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Roop.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx on a cold evening.
Yes, it is. Cold evening, cold Tuesday. How are you doing, Big Roop?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
Good, good. Same here, same here. And just to jump right into the episode for our listeners, tonight's episode is Money Rules.
All right, Money Rules.
Right. So I guess just to bring our listeners right into the fold, what happened last week and what's been in the news? It's hasn't been like dominating, but it has been trending. There was one bank that kind of started off, and two more followed. So just to inform our listeners, what's going on in the banking world?
Well, Silicon Valley Savings Bank has went kaput. And they are no longer in operation.
Exactly. And then there were two more subsequent banks the last couple of days that led to it. And once that happens, there's always the larger fear that it's going to continue, it's going to spread. For anyone with a long memory, 2008 was basically where that happened. And basically, that was the largest financial crisis the world has ever seen, not even just our country. And I guess there was a tiny fear that that's what was happening again. But the government got involved to stop it, let bank customers know that their money was protected, and that was it. So, again, today's episode is Money Rules. And for our listeners, it's to understand that rules run money. Right, money doesn't just happen. It's a instrument of exchange, and government's regulated, and it's that regulation that impacts what happens. And again, maybe just as a starting point for our listeners, what's a run on the bank? Right, just maybe people don't know what's a run on the bank.
When everybody wants to make withdrawals and take their money out, fearing that there'll be no money left for them.
Exactly. And sometimes that is actually, again, a self-fulfilling prophecy where the bank might be functional, but the premise is not that everybody's going to run and grab their money at the same time. And if that happens, what can it lead to?
The bank is going to fail. There's no money left. All their resources have been exhausted.
Exactly. So that scenario in itself just shows, hopefully our listeners and anyone who comes across this episode, that our banking system is a little more fragile than people realize, because a lot of it is set up for us to kind of function a certain way, right? Like, yes, all our money's there, but there's never an expectation that we're all going to go for our money at the same time. So I guess even in itself, that's an unwritten rule that everybody's not going to make a deposit of all their money at the exact same time.
Yeah, no, it's guaranteed. Well, not guaranteed, but that's the way that it operates. Basically, you put your money in there. We're going to give you whatever interest rate we're going to give you. Then we're going to re-lend your money to somebody else with a higher interest rate so we can make a profit. So we're counting on you depositing your money but not asking for it right away.
Exactly. And those are kind of the unwritten rules of banking, which a lot of people don't know, nor do we often need to know. Because, again, a lot of time things are done behind the scenes. As long as our money is available to us for our needs, we don't really question what the banks do with our money. And again, nor do we need to until a situation like you mentioned, Silicon Valley Bank happens, because nobody wants their bank to be insolvent. Your first instinct is going to be to do what?
Go get your money and pull it out.
Exactly, which is what's going to make your bank insolvent. So again, it's just kind of bringing our listeners into, it's like the rules of the road, right? We're all supposed to follow traffic rules and red lights and stop signs. And if suddenly we all decide to go in the same direction at the same time, full speed ahead, we're going to have a lot of crashes and again, that's what happened in 2008. I mean, it was more complicated in 2008, but ultimately the banking system failed because the rules didn't kind of work, to just put it bluntly. And so there was, again, a fear that that was the case here. So what are the rules of banking, right? We understand, like you, what you just explained perfectly, right, that banks take our money, give us a certain rate of return based on the interest rate, and then they try to make more money off our money. That's the nature of their business. How is it banks function? Like, do banks function independent, or do they have to follow a certain set of rules?
Well, I believe they're governed by the Federal Reserve or something, you know, another government agency, that they have rules and regulations as to how they can lend money out or how much money they have to keep on reserve and things like that.
Exactly. So again, for our listeners, money rules. There are rules to banking, right? There are the unwritten rules of just, you know, supply, demand, capitalism, things that just help us to transact everyday life. And then there's the specific state and federal laws that are written that banks have to follow, right? They have to function a certain way. So ironically, and I was watching the news earlier, and a lot of the conservative media was blaming this particular bank failure, on SVB, Silicon Valley Bank's failure, on wokeness. And wokeness is really the new catchphrase for anything that conservatives don't like, right? Which is a problem in itself. Again, woke means to be awake, to be aware, right? And somehow awareness is the source of their issues, right? Oh, you people are too aware. You people are thinking about everything. But they were basically blaming the failing of that particular bank on wokeness and diversity. So I guess because a lot of corporations are using DEI as a goal of making sure that their working environment is much more equitable and fair and inclusive, and I guess conservative media is saying that that's taken away from their core function of business. Like, if they just focus on business, they won't have any problems, that are worrying about all these social issues, right? That was their excuse. Now, the reality was that the bank was operating very recklessly based on regulations that were changed by one former President Trump, right? He deregulated the bank. He changed some of the Dodd-Frank rules, which was meant to keep banks more restricted after 2008. So the long story of it is that the conservatives are basically blaming themselves.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
But they're not going to blame themselves, so they're going to blame somebody else, right? So in other words, they don't like regulations. Let's get rid of the rules. Trump got rid of rules. This bank took advantage of the lack of rules, got themselves in trouble. And now they want to say, because we care about diversity, equity, and inclusion, is why this happened. So again, money rules. Money is how rules are govern how banks function. And when you get rid of the rules, what tends to happen?
Anarchy.
Exactly. Anarchy runs on the bank, right? Bank insolvency. There's no rules. Banks do whatever they want. They'll take our money, they'll borrow it or lend it, I should say, in risky ways, get themselves in trouble, and then they look to the government for help.
Yeah, well, back to another bailout.
Exactly. So, again, like I said, the quarter issue was deregulations of certain rules that were put in place to kind of maintain the safety of the banks. And in this case, the government again stepped in and said that whatever money's lost, it's going to be, the government's going to back it, as they always say. But another interesting thing that came out of it is that they said that there was some higher net worth people who had more than the $250,000 limit in the bank. And why is that wrong?
That's a maximum. That's you're insured by the FDIC. So if you have more than that, it's not insured. And if it gets lost, you lose it.
And that's a known thing. This is not a, a new scenario. So it almost makes you wonder, why would higher net worth people do that? Because I think it was always known that if you have a certain amount of money, you have to have multiple banks, right? You have to have your money in different banks so that, you know, you're kind of diversifying, not having your eggs in one basket. So it's just interesting that a lot of people, I believe in Silicon Valley, I think a lot of the tech business people out there use that bank. So it wasn't just like a mom and pop bank. It wasn't a giant bank like JP Morgan, whatever, but it catered, I guess, to that clientele as well as other people.
Yeah, well, that leads you to believe, were they offering them a higher interest rate than they might have been getting elsewhere? Because why would you want to put money that wouldn't be insured into a bank, you know, a smaller bank that maybe doesn't have the resources to protect your money?
Very good point. And you're right. People do put their money in certain banks based on the interest rate, the money they're going to get back. So that's a good point. I mean, I don't know the particulars of that. I'm not sure that's even like really been stated, but that's a good point. Maybe they were getting a great interest return, which in turn would make the bank have to really, I guess, take risky investments to make money to guarantee that interest. So that's a good point. But hopefully our listeners, again, see how this thing works, because I think, again, we walk into a room, we hit the light switch, it comes on, and that's it. Far as we know, magic, we have light. And there are a number of procedures behind the scene that have to work and be maintained for the light to come on, right? And most of us don't know how or don't even think about how, but when the light doesn't come on, we freak out. And it's kind of the same thing with banking. There are rules in place. And as long as we can get our money and go about our lives, we don't really care or know how it works. But as soon as we can't get our money, we freak out.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like the Depression of 1929.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think that this particular situation, like I said, I don't know the names of the other two banks, but it was about three banks that went insolvent within like 3 or 4 days of each other. Do you think that speaks to a larger situation, or is it, again, one-off, these banks just didn't follow the right rules and got themselves in trouble?
Well, it's a lame, but I think it's hard to say. Again, we don't know if they were offering high interest rates, which would make them try to invest money in riskier products to get the rate of return they need. Or, you know, we're not sure what was actually going on. So it's hard for me to speculate on that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's something where, again, we can just operate on the information that's publicly available. I guess, I don't know. I guess for some reason I'm a little worried, not specifically just because of the situation, but I do know that listening to media and following the business world over time, many experts and analysts have said that we have gotten into a similar position to where we were in 2008 and even more so. And the reason is a lot of banks, a lot of institutions, they tend to always overlever, right? And again, we in our personal lives overlever, right? Whenever things are tight, what do? We use credit. Sometimes when things are good, what do? We use credit, right? And when using credit, if you're not careful, you're overextending yourself. And then what happens is you put yourself in a situation where, you might run into trouble. So I think it's one of those things where you hope it's a one-off and we've learned from it, but you don't know. And I think that's kind of the point.
Well, that's true. I've heard a couple of things. I'm not sure how this totally relates to what we're talking about this evening, but one group I was listening to was talking about this is going to give the government a leeway into, not a leeway, but they can try to push digital currency if there's not enough money for these banks to try to fix the problem that's occurred when these banks overleverage themselves. And I don't know if that's going to be something that they're looking into, but, you know, I don't know if you want to get pushed into digital currency.
lot of the same rap songs. Every new hit should sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Agreed. And again, I actually haven't been following the business world recently, just kind of taking a break from it myself. And part of me would say, based on what I've known previously, that wouldn't be the case, because I think that traditional banks and the government as a whole, I mean, let's be honest, the government as a whole wants the American dollar to stay strong because that is our money, right? So we don't want any side money or cotangent money to do better than a dollar. The dollar is part of the American, offering to the world, right? That being said, I think we've had to pay attention to, electronic currency, cryptocurrency, just because it's become such a big part. So I think banks look at that as just another asset, right? Another asset class. So we have bonds, we have stocks, we have a digital currency, and we just kind of bundle together. I think the government, the Federal Reserve, I think the Treasury, they just care about the dollar because that is our money. So I don't know if there's a strong fear there that we would use digital currency to either replace the dollar or to greatly supplement it, because that means a weaker dollar, I guess it's a weaker America.
Good point. And again, that's just something I heard. I didn't really research it, so I don't want to say that's what they're looking to do. There's something that I heard mentioned.
Yeah, and I think there are some parts and elements that might want it, because again, it's like anything else. Some people make money off of digital currency, right? So if something is your business, you want to make money off of it, right? I mean, you know me, I've been a critic of social media for well over a decade, right? So a lot of what's kind of transpired with Facebook and TikTok and some of the negative sides of social media, I kind of warned against it, because to me, that was the fabric of social media, right? Like, the whole point of social media was that you have this deregulated interconnection of people. And then down the road, we're wondering why there's so much misinformation coming on when you have a deregulated interconnection of people, right? So you have people sharing it with no type of rule. And then you wonder why misinformation is going on and all of these things. That's the very nature of what it was. I don't blame the people who created it to have a problem with it, because they're the ones making money off of it. But going back to the rule structure, you wish government would have said, hey, let's make sure this thing is actually safe before we roll it out to people, right? The same way we regulate cars, we regulate the highway. We don't let people do whatever they want there. Why would you let us do whatever we want in social media? And now, why would you let us do whatever we want with money? So if money suddenly becomes deregulated and government has nothing to do with it, yeah, some people are going to love and be happy about it. But I think we've shown that every time we've done something in the absence of government, what happens? Anarchy.
No, I would agree. You know, it kind of reminds me of the time when we had the blackout. I think it was 2002 or 2003.
Yeah.
And basically, within 5 minutes of the lights going out, people couldn't drive. Everyone was in the street yelling and cursing and no one giving the right of way, and it was crazy. And you should see how quickly that society can devolve back to primitive times.
Exactly. So again, I think, like you said, there's always this notion to push back on government and rules and things of that nature. But the reality, rules are what keep us safe and keep us functioning. Right. Even when we break the rules, we want everybody else to follow the rules. Right. So rules matter. And going back to today's topic of money rules, even financially, rules matter. Right. Even criminals value the American dollar. Right. That's based on the rules of America. That's based on the structure of it. Right. It's not rocks or some random thing that they're after. Right. Pablo Escobar is hiding. What did he want? American dollars. Right. Because he knew deep down inside, whatever business or whatever venture I'm in, what's the greatest asset I can get out of it? American dollars.
No, that's true.
So, again, hopefully our listeners gain some awareness from this. I'm not sure how many people followed it. And again, that's a good and bad thing, because maybe a lot of people aren't aware of the topic of Silicon Valley Bank because it didn't touch them. And because it didn't spread the way that the 2008 financial crisis had spread, where it did eventually touch everybody. And we don't know, because we're talking about a week out. This happened last week. And it seems that the government has been able to stop it. And we just have to hope they did, because, you know, again, 2008 started with Lehman Brothers, and then it just went. And I think the difference then was, because Lehman Brothers was so well known and was so big, that them falling just kind of made everybody aware that this is possible. I think Silicon Valley Bank, like you said, most people have never heard of it.
Yeah, I think it has. It's definitely not as well known. I think if this were to have spread to your larger institutions like Bank of America or JP Morgan Chase or Citigroup, then you would see people really taking notice, because those are like national brands where, you know, people are like, oh, my money's not safe here. And you could definitely see a run on the banks of those, one of those institutions was to suddenly look like it was insolvent.
Exactly. And even if it started, let's say the first bank that did go down was JP Morgan Chase or Bank of America, right? Just the size and the notoriety of it, that might have created the initial fear that would have like led to a run on banks, smaller banks, and the government maybe wouldn't have been able to kind of stop it. So you're right. Maybe just the fact that it was a smaller bank that we can get our hand on this real quick kind of kept it from getting out of control, as opposed to Bank of America just failed all of a sudden and then just took everybody back to 2008.
Oh, I agree. You know, this hopefully was something that they were able to manage and nip in the bud before it, you know, escalated to epic proportions.
Exactly. So, I mean, I know we're going to go to our call to action phase for our listeners. But even before we do that, I just hope that there is an awareness that the rules matter, even when we don't know. Because, again, we don't know what happens when we turn the light switch on, but we know that we need light. And I think the same principle, and use the same example, like I said, with the blackout, right? Everyone is civil until the lights are out at night and we can't see anything. And then civility breaks down really quick. So I think, I just hope people understand that there's an awareness that even though we don't know the rules of the financial markets a lot of times and banking, that they do impact us and they're very important, even though we don't understand them.
Yeah, even someone who's not an investor, who has very little money in the bank, everything that they probably are, you know, between paying their rent, you know, got their financing a car, that they have a mortgage, everything's tied into these banks. So everyone's affected, whether they think so or not.
Exactly. Exactly. So the group, today's episode, Money Rules, what is your call to action for our listeners?
Well, I would say before you make a run on the bank based on erroneous information, maybe you want to make sure that it's actually true and make sure that what you're doing is prudent. If you don't really need the money, like if the money's not something that's burning, you need to do right now, you know, something of an immediate need, you know, maybe you can ride it out. And just try to be informed as to what's going on. Watch the news. Don't just listen to things on social media. Try to get something from credible sources that you can use to help you make an informed decision.
Very well said. Very well said. Very good information. Following on your lead, I think my call to action would be to just become a little bit more aware of the rules of money, how money works. Like you said, how banks make money off our money. Does it make sense to put your money in a particular bank over another bank? Just a general understanding of the financial system, right? Again, we don't have to know how electricity works and lights go on, but we do know if our bulb blows, we have to get a new bulb and put it in. So I guess just having a general understanding of the rules of money helps. And then maybe once you understand a little bit, you'll understand more, you'll be more aware, and you'll also know what to look for. Because the last point I'd like to make is that what happened to Silicon Valley Bank should not have happened based on the rules and the lessons learned from the 2008 financial crisis. What happened is we changed those rules again. And that's the point of today's episode, Money Rules. When you change rules, there are implications. So hopefully our listeners will take that away and just be aware.
No, I agree. You know, sometimes change is not always for the better, and sometimes rules are in place to keep you safe. You know, some people, you know, need rules to help to keep them from drawing outside the lines.
Exactly. And this was a good example of it. So I think to your point there, we'll leave it right there for today's episode of Money Rules. Rules do matter. So hopefully going forward, we'll remember that and keep those rules in place. But again, for today's episode, Money Rules, I am Sean P.
I'm Big Roop.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rappers so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to, I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.